Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to our listeners today. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We often talk about our making a decision for Jesus Christ, and that's very important in the Christian life. But today I'd like to change that just a little bit and talk to you about the day Jesus Christ made a real decision for us. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are willing to make a decision to come to this world and to suffer and to die on a cross, that we might have the forgiveness of our sins and be restored into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. God, we pray that today, in a very special way, we may take a look at that day when you, Lord Jesus, made a real decision for us. Hear our prayer that we ask in your holy name. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 9. At that time Jesus came from Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and a Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once a Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Decisions, decisions, decisions. From the cradle to the grave, that's what life is all about. Most of our decisions we make automatically. We don't even know that we're doing it. On the other hand, there are a few that are very serious and crucial to our lives, and these decisions take a lot of thought. Our most important decision in life, we sooner or later find out, is to talk about our relationship with God and to make the decision, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? Today, I'd like to change this just a little bit and talk about the day that Christ made a tremendous decision for us. As we pick up our text today, and it's his baptism, Jesus is 30 years old. From the time of his infancy until 30, we only have one peek into his life, and that is at the age of 12. You recall that's the time when Joseph and Mary took him to the temple, and there he found his way into the place where the authorities were, and they were amazed at the knowledge of Scripture that Jesus really had. From there on, we don't know very much about him. We know that he worked in the carpenter shop with Joseph, and we know, for the Scripture tells us, that he increased during those days in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. That's the way that we want our children to grow up, isn't it? He grew up and he became very wise. Did he go to school? Was Mary the one who taught him at home? We don't know. He grew up in stature, that is, his body developed, and he grew into a man. And we like to see that happen in the bodies of our children. And then he grew also socially. He grew in favor with man. In other words, he was able to communicate with people, and they liked to have him around without a doubt. But more than that, he increased in favor with God. He grew spiritually. Now then, we have this day of his baptism. And you can ask yourself the question, why was Jesus ever baptized? We know that baptism always has to do with the forgiveness of sin. John the Baptist was out there telling them to repent. And his baptism was known as a baptism of repentance. Then there's Jesus' baptism, and then there's baptism as we know it in the Christian church today. It's an entrance into the kingdom of God. It is related to the forgiveness of sin. So when John was reluctant to baptize Jesus, it should not astound us too much, for why would he be baptized? He was the sinless Son of God. But on that day Jesus made a great decision for us. He left his home in Nazareth. He left the carpenter shop, and he began his redemptive mission, which was taking the sins of the world upon him, suffering and dying, in order that you might have the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of life everlasting. That day, Jesus realized, I'm sure, that there was a mighty, mighty ministry before him. And so he comes to begin that ministry by his baptism. During the time of his baptism, there are three interesting things that happen. He heard the voice of God speak, and he is identified. Now listen to who God says Jesus is. This is my beloved Son. This is my Son. Jesus Christ is my Son. That is the natural Son. Later in the sermon, we'll talk about us being the adopted sons and daughters. But Jesus is the natural Son. That is, he was without sin. He did not have to be redeemed. He was a part of the Godhead. The question has often been raised, was Jesus at that time fully aware of his deity? That's an issue that has been debated again and again by the scholars, and I guess that we won't know until we get to heaven and find out. If he had any questions about who he was, that day it was answered for him. For God said, right out of the heavens, "Do you know who you are, Jesus? You are my son." Then it goes on. "And the Lord said from heaven above, 'You're the one that I love.'" He not only identified who Jesus was, but he identified his relationship with Jesus. "I am your father, and you are my son, and I love you." As the God-man, it was important that Jesus knew that the Father, the first person in the Trinity, and I have to admit that this is extremely complicated, and our minds cannot begin to comprehend what is being said here, but from the very beginning, Jesus needed to know that he was loved, and that he was loved by God. He would experience a lot of hatred as far as human beings were concerned during the next 3 years, but as long as he knew that he was loved by God, he would be able to carry on. It was that Father's love that motivated Jesus to go all the way to the cross and finally to the empty tomb. Motivation, that's what brought about his going to the cross. And that motivation was there because Jesus knew that God loved him. And then the third one, God says, "I am well pleased with you." And note that pride type of a thing. "This is my son. He is the one who has come into this world, and he will bring my people back to me if they but confess their sins and place their faith in him." It is a note of pride. I think we can sense that a little bit, can't we? Don't you have a great deal of pride when you say, "This is my son, this is my daughter"? I love to do that. It's one of the most joyful times of my life when I have the privilege of introducing my children. And if they give me a little bit of time, I'll tell them what they do and some of their accomplishments. After all, that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? And then as we grow older and our children give us grandchildren, then once again we say, "This is my grandchild." Oh, I just love to introduce my grandchildren. And I'm not beyond boasting, perhaps beyond what is really reality. Finally, the Spirit anoints Jesus. And it's at that time that his work begins. That was the day that Jesus made a great decision for us. He decided not to stay in the carpenter shop at Nazareth, but to go out into the Judean hills and walk by the Sea of Galilee and tell the same old story that he was and is the Christ who has come to be the Redeemer of mankind. Jesus makes his decision to become our Savior. He takes upon us his sins and brings us back into a personal relationship with God. Now then, what does all of this mean for you and for me? I think that there are many things that we can bring that can be brought to our mind here. Because Christ made a decision for us, he is able to offer us many things. Now notice, he is able to offer us many things. We have to decide, empowered by the Holy Spirit, of course, whether we want to accept what he offers us. He offers us identification. He offers us this telling who we can become. We are by nature the natural children of God. There's no question about that. It was God who created us. And so we quite often hear people say, "Well, we're all God's children." Yes, we are in the sense that he is our creator. But we're talking about children of God in a different way today. We're talking about those who are the adopted children of God. Earlier in this sermon, I told you that Jesus was a natural child of God. He had no sin. That is not so with you and me. We are born into this world. We are born with sin. God can have nothing to do with sin. So first that sin has to be taken out of our lives. And when that happens, then he is willing to adopt us as his children. St. Paul talks about it in his letter to the Galatians. We are the adopted children of God. He comes in here, says, I want to have you. And as a result of that, we become those sons and daughters of his kingdom. That means then that he can offer me the security of knowing who I am. You know, it's an awful thing to go through life and not really know who you are. You begin to ask the questions, what am I here for? Who am I anyway? You hear that question asked many a time by people when they are distraught. Well, I am a child of God. And that's the most important thing in life, isn't it? That's where we get security. Then does it matter so much if every last person is not willing to accept us and give us a place in his or her life and calendar? We have the assuring word that we have our Father in heaven who cares about us. The next I need to know is that I am truly loved. He has forgiven me. He loves me. No matter what, it's an unconditional love. It is this love that God has for us that guides us in our behavior. We do not live out of obedience to the law. We can't do that. But when we are loved by God, and he has created that love in our hearts for him, then it is that we live in such a way that is pleasing in his sight. For example, let's take a very simple little thing, the giving of some money to the cause of the kingdom of God. Do I do it because there's a law? Well, that's the way some people do. They say, we have to give 10%. I hate to give every penny of it, but that's what I've got to do because that's the law. And if I'm a good Christian, then I'm going to give 10%. No, friend. We give out of love. It is the fact that I know that I'm loved by God, and therefore, because he loves me, I love him, and the results are that I want to give. See the difference? We are not running around in life guided and directed and motivated by a law. We go around in life motivated and behaving out of love for the one who first loved us. I am a loved child of God. Live with that every day and see the difference that it makes in your life and mine. And then finally, the Father praised Christ in a way, of course, he could never praise us. For Christ did everything perfectly. Christ absolutely never made one single mistake. Not so with you and me. We fall. We have all kinds of mistakes. We have all kinds of sins. But isn't it wonderful when by his grace and experiencing his daily forgiveness, at the end of our lives, to hear a word of praise from him. Come, my friend, it is well done. You are a good and faithful servant. He didn't mean that we did not make a lot of mistakes, that we often did not turn our back on him. But by the grace of God, we continued on during these days that we were here on this earth, for we too had been called not to do the tremendous task that only Jesus Christ could do, but we were called to take what Christ had done, his suffering, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, and carry it out to the world. And at the end of our earthly stay, to hear him say, well done. Well done. By my power that was given to you, you brought many to know the Lord. I love that passage in St. Paul's letter to Timothy. It's a second letter. And we believe that these are some of the last words that St. Paul ever wrote. And here is what he says at the very end. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all, that includes you and me, who have longed for his appearing. Paul is not saying here that I am saved because of all of the great things that I have done. But he is saying, because I have been saved, and I love the Lord, and I know that I am his child and his witness, I have served faithfully. Not without sin, but I have served faithfully. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a way to leave this world. And so the decision then is ours. You notice I said, because Christ on that day made a decision for us. He can offer us all kinds of things. We've talked about three of them: identification, to know who I am, that I am loved, and that I can receive the praise from Almighty God. The question is, do we want to accept what he offers us? Do we want to receive him as our Savior, the one who has died for us, the one who has promised us that we are his forever? That's the biggest decision that you and I will ever make. For without that Christ, life has a great deal to be desired. In fact, it ends with a dead-end road. But with him, we move on to live forever and ever in the kingdom of God. Amen.
My soul, my strength.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for that day when you made that great decision for us. Help us to understand that marvelous offer, that we can be called the children of God, knowing that we are loved by you, and faithfully we can serve in your kingdom. Thanks, Lord, for all good things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May God's richest blessings be with you this week. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time throughout the country and internet access around the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasts.